So in the Gospels, we hear Jesus talking to us about do not worry. Now, we have to see the audience of Jesus to whom he is talking. 90% of the audience of Jesus are farmers. And they don't own the land. The land is owned by Pharisees. So they have to pay a tax for their use of the land. They have to pay a temple tax, so two taxes. And then they have to pay a Roman tax, the three tax. If something happens to the crop, then that's it. They are stuffed. They don't have anything to live on. So 90% of the audience of Jesus at the time of at his time were just thinking about hands-to-mouth issues. They didn't dream about holidays. They didn't have much vision about life. Their only vision about life was the next meal on the table. That my children should not cry asking for bread. That was their worry, main worry. And to them, this radical preacher is coming and saying, do not worry about food. Do not worry about drink. Do not worry about clothes. An average Jew would say to him, I have to worry about my food. I have to worry about my clothes. I have to worry about my drink. Because I do not know where it is going to come from. I can very much relate to this story. I come from a very average middle class family in India. My parents, my mom is better than my dad because dad dropped out year 7, mom only dropped out at year 8. So they still have this fight between who is the most educated person in the family. My dad had a coconut oil business. But it mainly depended upon if he gets the coconut. We had like around 30, 40 coconut trees at our place. And there was a special disease going on in our place. At that time, it was the hardest time in our family. We never went for picnic. We never heard of going to tour. I remember my classmates used to go for tours and picnic from my classes, my school. I used to tell my dad, and daddy used to get really angry. We just couldn't afford. The only electrical equipment we had in our house was a broken radio that I somehow tried to repair it. But I used to love to listen to Bollywood music. That was the only piece of electrical material, electronic material in our house. Why? Because the main worry of my dad and mom was we have to educate 3 children and we have to make sure they have something to eat. I remember still clearly one day my dad, mom said, what is there for curry, you know? He has to bring something from the market. And dad said, I don't know. He just didn't come home that day because there was not money. You know, mom was so clever. She went and cut these leaves, special leaves, and she made a beautiful curry out of it. And there are days my mom used to sit back in the late in the night, make mat. She used to make mats that she can be sold so that money is used for our tuition. But one most amazing thing, the touching thing that's still in my memory is that my dad used to come home. He used to worry. He used to sit in our veranda and thinking, and I used to ask my mom, what is he thinking? Mom used to say, well, he gets the loan from one person. Now he is thinking how to take another loan to pay off that loan. That was the story of my dad at times. And I could see my dad sometimes come home and say, don't worry, I have told everything to him. This him is God. He won't enter the church. He will drop me at school. And I can see him as I walk to my school. I can see him standing in front of the church, saying very deep sighs, say something to the God, and take off with his cycle to his coconut business. Then I could see every day in my house after family rosary, we all rush to finish the rosary. then I could still see my mom, even after the fifth decade, she used to remain stretched hands on knees in front of Mother Mary. I don't know what she was saying. But after many years, all three of us graduated from these poor farmers. Two of them got post-graduated, and both, all of them work properly. I am the only priest wandering around the world. The other two are much more settled than me. They look after them, look after my mom and dad. They have built beautiful houses for mom and dad. And they've been traveling to Dubai and back for holidays. Dream for them. But I still remember they didn't have anywhere to go except. I can still remember when Jesus says, "Do not worry." My parents worried, but at the end of the day, they have no other choice other than cling on to him. They had no other place for my mother except go to Mother Mary and pray with outstretched arms. That is the only place she could beg. My dad may not be entering in the church. Outside of the church, he stood and prayed, "Please give me means to look after my children." Yes, divine providence provided for us. Jehovah Jireh, he provided, he took three children, and he made them out of nothing. And I really am very grateful to the simplicity of my parents' faith. They were not educated. They never read any theological book. The only weapon of my mother was a rosary she always carries. My dad was not a religious person. You wouldn't see him praising and thanking God, but you could see him really closing his eyes and saying something very, very deep to God. God did answer that prayer. That is what when Jesus means when he says, "I will look after you." Can a woman forget her child? Can a woman forget her child? Isaiah chapter 49. This is what God asking you. Can a woman forget her child? Of course not. Even if she forgets, I will not forget you. I will not forget you. You are much more than valuable than any sparrow. Much more valuable than the lilies on the field, the birds in the air. Now, Jesus is a very clever storyteller. To this audience who are very poor, he did not straight away tell them, "Don't worry about food." But rather he used two imageries. The first imagery, the imagery of a bird. Now, bird is a masculine Aramaic noun. Birds, masculine Aramaic noun. And what does the bird, the actions he connects with the bird is sowing, reaping, harvesting. An average Palestinian guy doing sowing, reaping, harvesting. He told them, "Look at the birds. Hey, Aramaic men, hey, Palestinian men, look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't harvest, but they are still looked after." Then he used the word, the imagery, lilies. And lilies are an Aramaic feminine noun representing the woman. He said, "Look at the lilies, woman, look at. They don't spin the yarn, they don't stitch, but God still looks after them." The deep, intimate love of God. If you read the book of Job, Job chapter 1 verse 10, God made a hedge around Job. God made a hedge around Job. When we read Job chapter 29 verse 3, we read, he watched over Job day and night. In the book of Zechariah, we read, chapter 5, we read, God put a fence of fire around his people. This is the love of God. He put a fence around us. He put a hedge around us. He watched over us. Psalm 121 verse 4. The one who keeps Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. He always watches over us. Where is our faith when we worry? Where is our God when we worry about little things in our lives? We make him so small and we make our problems so big. My God is so big. My problems are so small. Can we allow him to be our God? Can we allow him to be the hedge around our lives? Can we allow him to be the fire of wall around our lives? Can we allow him to be the guy who watches over our lives? Do we trust him with our lives? Do we trust him with our worries? Last week I had a worry. I went to a retreat, and at the end of the retreat, this particular person came up to me, "Father, I listened to the preachings, I listened to the retreat, I am going to break up with my boyfriend because I should not be in this relationship." I said, "Bravo, do it." She said, "But Father, you will go, everyone will go, I will be all alone in this place, so I can't do it." So I asked another friend from a different city whether she can stay with this particular person for another week. Now, in this particular culture I was talking, they need permission even after they turn 21 or 30 or 40 from parents. Anyway, without the permission of parents, or parents gave 2 days of permission, this particular girl stayed with the girl who broke up. Then I'm getting this call from this girl who tried to help this girl is breaking up, that, "Father, you don't have any responsibility. Why did you ask my child to stay with this particular girl in that particular city? You should not be doing that. You just preach the retreat. You don't take for people." I said, "I just did it for the sake of this particular girl because she needs some kind of strength to go through this time of breakup." "No, no, you cannot dictate to my family. You know, she's supposed to go for a uni interview and she's supposed to get into this university course. Now, because she stayed one more week in that particular place, she may not be able to get into the uni." I was so worried. I tried to do a help, and I'm in trouble now. I called this girl who is trying to help the other girl. "Is it because you stayed back in this place that you are not going to get into uni?" And she said to me, "Yes, fine. If I had gone back, I would have got into the uni." I was walking from office to the house, praying a rosary, "Please, Lord, don't put me down. I really need a miracle. You should open a university for this girl. You should open. Everything is closed. Everything is closed. I know it's closed. It's Australia. Nothing will work. But I have you. You should open one. You should open one." I walked to the presbytery. I walked into the chapel. I said, "Please go. Please. For me. You know? For me, Lord. You know? I don't ask you anything more but one favor. Because I did something for you. This girl, one, it wasn't a bad relationship. She broke up, she had to, and she needed to be supported because she needed to be courageous enough to go through that journey. Now look at her, who is trying to help her. Please." Next day, Griffith University opened the door for her. And they said, "It's okay, you can start the course again." Praise the Lord. Eh? He will never let you down. Many, many stories. My stories are full of God's providence. He will never let you down. The one who watches over you will never sleep, never slumbers. He will not allow your foot to stumble. He watches over you. He's got a fence around you. He's got a hedge around you. He's got a fire of wall around you. He is your God. And he watches over you. Let us not make God our problem. God is much more than anything. There is a beautiful word in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else?" What a beautiful word. "He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Food, drink, cloth." What are we asked of? Trust him. Trust him.
I can only say my experiences. Many more of you have experiences. Many of you are going through struggles, pain, problems, really worried about job and employment. Maybe you are worried about the next meal or your rent, house rent, water bills. I understand they're all real problems. But God can open ways. God can open generous heart. God can put people in your lives, events in your lives, miraculously. Because He is God. He loves us. He watches over us. So this evening I invite you. Let us approach the altar with confidence. With victorious right hand. He will lift us up. And we will never be ashamed because believed in Him. We will never be ashamed because we believed in a God who is living, who watches over us, who put a fence around us to protect us. So let us encounter Him. Let us cast upon Him all our worries. And may He be our strength and our refuge. Amen.